Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
Very good morning to you. We welcome you to Marriage Beyond the Vows. Thank you so much for listening. You could have been anywhere on your radio dial, but I'm so glad you decided to stop here. I'm Tiffany Bacon along with Marcos Mercado, and today we are going to be tackling the three keys for a great marriage, and we welcome you to the program. If you have any comments or questions, and we welcome those, reach out to us in Philadelphia at 215-263-1039 or in Charlotte at 1-877-995-7644. Good morning, Marcos. How are you today?
Good morning, and good morning to all our friends listening to us on the air here. And, we are excited. We're talking about three keys to having a great marriage. Now, we know there are many other keys around there, but today I just really wanted to share three things that I found in the scriptures. And on my heart, I don't think you'll find these specific things anywhere besides the good book. Mm-hmm. And so it's good for us to be able to talk about these things this morning. But as usual, let's go to God in prayer before we begin our show. Our Heavenly Father and God, we come before you and we are so grateful for marriage and the blessing that marriage can be and should be, Father. And we pray that this morning we'll be able to encourage all of our listeners, God, and that your word would really help us, Father, and give us direction in order to have great marriages, Father. Marriages that can be a beacon of light, Father. Marriages that really make you proud. To be able to, that you look at us, Father, and you say, that is the way that I design marriage to be. Father, we love you. We thank you so much for this time. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Awesome.
Amen. Well, here in Mark chapter 2, the three things that we're going to be tackling and talking about is in order to have a great marriage. And again, I say great because there is no such thing as a perfect marriage, but there's such thing as having a great marriage, a marriage that is growing, that is beneficial for yourself, for your spouse, for those around you. And so there are three key things that I believe that you need to have in order to be able to really say, I have a great marriage. Mm-hmm. The first thing is you need to have faithful friends. If you have a marriage and it's only you and your wife, you're going to find yourself in a lot of trouble. Okay. You're going to find that there are certain conversations that you hit walls on. There are certain obstacles that and certain things you're not going to be able to see eye to eye, but you'll be able to say, you know what? I need to bounce this off a good friend, a good and faithful friend that the Bible simply talks about. Mm-hmm. You also need to have persistent prayer. And I believe one of those keys as well is praying not only by yourself, but to be able to pray with your spouse. I'm surprised many times even when I speak to couples and they are not praying together, yet they want to have this kind of intimate relationship. They want to have this closeness, but they're not even going to God in prayer together. And finally, you need to have an honest heart. You need to be honest about what you're feeling, what you're going through, and it's okay to be honest. And so Mark chapter 2, this verse, we'll read a few verses here. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. So many gathered that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralytic, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above, and after digging through it, lowered the mat and the paralyzed man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why did this fellow talk like that? He is blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts. And he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take up your mat and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to the paralytic, "I tell you, get up, take up your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this."
Mm.
I love this passage, Tiffany, and to all our listeners. You know, this passage really shows that sometimes we cannot get ourselves to a place where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And yet this man, this paralytic, had four really good friends. When I think about great friends in the Bible or great friends in general, I think about these four who could have easily given up, who could have easily have said, you know what, we tried, we wanted to take you to Jesus. Hey, this is what you wanted, but today is not a good day. Mm-hmm. The house is crowded. But instead, they found some way, some innovative way, you know, to be able to actually go up to the roof. Mm-hmm. And this guy even trusted his friends enough to allow himself to be taken up to the roof. They made a covering, you know, a hole in the roof, and they lowered him in. And then Jesus was amazed, not by the paralytic's faith, but by the friend's faith. And we all need to be surrounded by people like that. Mm-hmm. People who say, you know what? I want to see you succeed. I want to see you make it. And you know what? I'm willing to do whatever it takes. I'm willing to take the risk with you in order for that to happen. I mean, that is just, to me, that is amazing in terms of friendship. And so the first key we want to talk about this morning is having faithful friends.
Mm.
Do you have people in your life that help you in your marriage? Who helps you in your marriage? You know, who has God put in your life specifically so that your marriage can be better?
Now, I have a question. Also, you know, we do encourage you to call in and answer that question that Marcos just set forward. You know, do you have faithful friends in your marriage? Give us a call and answer that 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. Now, say you have a young lady, you know, in the marriage, and she's like, you know, I can't relate to women because, you know, women and I, we just don't get along. All my friends were male. How do you handle that if the woman's all of her friends are male and the man, all of his friends were female? And that could eventually create a problem. And just really theoretically, it's like, I don't know, it gets a little dicey. How do you handle that if a partner's friends are all the opposite gender?
Okay. Yeah. You know, I mentioned having friends in your marriage. See, when you become married, it's not just you. You're not an individual anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And for example, I have great friends, but they're also now my wife's friends. And so we can talk openly. And there have been times where my wife and I have sat with a male friend, a fellow minister, a mentor in my life, someone that just my wife and I were having really honest conversation with.
Mm-hmm.
There are other times where my wife and I might talk to one of her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been times where we've talking to them and helping them. But there have also been times where we've gotten input and we've said, you know what? What do you think?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you think in terms of parenting? What do you think in terms of our relationship? Hey, you know us. Yeah. Or I'll ask, you know my wife very well. What do you think? And so when you mention that, Tiffany, I understand from a single's perspective, someone might have, you know, more close friends of the opposite sex. But when you get married, those friendships should become one friendship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you know, sometimes there will be one individual that's closer to, for example, some of my friends are a lot closer to me than they are to my wife.
Mm-hmm.
But nevertheless, they're still her friends. And so we can openly have dialogue and discussion and be honest and say, hey, look, this is where we are or what we need or what, you know, what do you think about this situation? And it's, you know, it's as a unit, as a couple.
Okay. And what's the what is the process of weeding people out, and how do you do that politely if they don't gel with your spouse?
How do you do it politely? I don't know if there is. I mean, of course, you can be cordial. But I also think that if there's something that's not beneficial for your marriage, I mean, if your marriage is important, and it should be, after your relationship with God, your marriage, your relationship with your spouse should be the most important relationship on this earth. And so if there's something that's not beneficial for that relationship, cut it off. I mean, it's just not worth it. I mean, if you feel like there's some person that you need to have a relationship with that's so important. And now it does get kind of tricky if, you know, if you had children before the marriage and then now, you know, you want to have a relationship with those children and your spouse doesn't want you to. I mean, understand also that God gave you those children before you had that marriage. And then it becomes very tricky. And you need to get a lot of input, pray for a lot of wisdom, and be able to kind of manage both.
Right.
And so my prayer would be, and my encouragement would be, you know, really figure out a way where you can have that relationship with your children and also with your spouse. But I don't think you're mentioning that. You're talking about that. You're just saying
the
in
friend.
General.
Yeah, like if your wife, say Marcos, if your wife had a best friend, male or female, before you, they were Ace Boon Coons before you even met. And you and that individual do not get along. Like, you just, there's no way you guys can become friends. It's just not happening. What should she do?
Okay. Well, we haven't had that. So it's really difficult for me to say, but I know that in any case, if that were the case, like, I know, for example, there was a friend of ours or a friend of mine, someone that I used to date. And then when I married my wife, you know, it was kind of awkward. Like, she was my friend and she was friends of my family. But when my wife came around, she didn't always acknowledge my wife. And so that made my wife feel very uncomfortable. You know, hey, I love my friend, but I love my wife a lot more.
Okay.
And so that just wasn't going to work. You know, we're still cordial. If I see her or she's married or her husband or whatever, we'll say hello. We'll have a brief conversation, but we're not tight anymore. And, you know, it was awkward. And my relationship with my spouse, with my wife, is so much more important than any other relationship that I don't want to jeopardize that or, you know, hurt that in any way. And so it's just not worth it for me.
Okay. I'm just thinking of various situations I've heard about from friends who've been married or acquaintances who've been married and have had an issue with the best friend and the husband or the best friend and the wife really not getting along. And the person is caught in the middle, not knowing what to do, feeling bad about distancing themselves from the person who's been, you know, there for them for a good portion of their life. And then, of course, the husband or the wife feeling like, okay, well, hi, I'm like your best friend now, you know, and just which is the best way to handle such a situation. I can only imagine it's a tough spot to be in.
It's a tough spot. And I think a lot of those things should be discussed before the vows, you know, as time goes on, you know, and if you say I do, what we got to understand is that God says that this is now flesh of your flesh. Meaning that the two become one. It's so difficult, Tiffany, in our society for so many couples to understand that. I mean, we counsel couples all the time who just feel like they have separate lives. I mean, they're like pretty much their roommates and they share certain things together, but they're not one the way God designed for them to be one. I mean, sometimes their money is not one. I've heard couples say, oh, can I borrow some money? Borrow money. I mean, my wife's money is my money. My money is her money. When we got married and I had some student loans, she had some debt. I mean, that was our debt. Right. It's not like her loans or, and I hear that so often, too often at times. And yet the Bible says the two become one. Now, of course, there's ways to deal with things and individuals can have a responsibility. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, when we read the scriptures, there's really no separation. There's husband and wife. You know, it's the same household. That's the way God designed it. And so when it comes to relationships and friendships, it should really be the same.
Right.
And so, again, you made that decision. This person now is the person you say you're going to spend the rest of your life with. They should be your best friend. Everyone else should be secondary.
All right. Awesome. Well, listen, we look forward to having you call in and answer the question. Do you have faithful friends in your marriage? Give us a call. And if you're wondering what to do, if you have a tight situation, Marcos can help guide you in the right direction, I'm sure. Give us a call, 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644. We have Don calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. Good morning. God bless you all.
Good morning.
I have a situation where I have friends, and I'm married. My husband has no friends. And when I introduced him to my friends, later on he became judgmental of my friends and basically stated there pretty much wasn't any good. There wasn't good for me, but he has no friends. And I try to incorporate him with my friends. I had a couple that was husband and wife. We had been friends for years. He chose her husband to be his best man because he had no other friends. Now he has no friendship with this male, my girlfriend's husband. How do I try to get him to understand he feels as though that people want something, you know, people always have a scheme. I'm like, you need somebody other than me. You need something outside of myself. How do I handle that?
Okay, Don, well, we thank you so much for that great question. But I have a question for you, and I'm sorry to answer a question with a question, but in order to kind of really get an idea of what's going on here, I just want to ask you, While you were dating, I mean, did this at all raise a red flag and say, wait a minute, you know, why doesn't this man have close friends?
Honestly, no, it didn't at the time. I was so in love, if you will, or the euphoria of, oh, wow. So it really didn't, you know, I didn't really think about it the way I do now.
Okay.
So, no, to answer your question, no, because we were busy. Our work schedule was kind of crazy. So, no, it didn't really cross my mind at that time.
Okay. Well, I think that's the first thing. And obviously, you can't go back and change that now. Right. But it's obvious that there are some major issues he has. I mean, perhaps he was burnt in the past.
Right.
Something has happened. Even by that comment you made where he feels like people are out to get you, something has happened. And it sounds like you see the importance for relationships and friendships. He, at some point, it sounds like he made a conscious decision to say, you know what, I don't need anyone.
Right.
I'm just going to be. And it's amazing enough that he opened up himself to you, but perhaps you're the only person. At the same time, though, that does show that there is some hope. I mean, if he was able to open up his heart, his life to you, do you feel like, how's your friendship with him, if you don't mind me asking that? How close are you guys as friends?
Honestly, as you mentioned, sometimes we can be separate.
Okay.
And sometimes I feel like I am the roommate.
Okay.
Right now we're starting to get counseling through my bishop and my church. But yes, I feel like I am the roommate. Things are separate. Things are private. And I'm like, I'm your wife. I mean, but based on what you said earlier about being separate, being one, but being separate, I'm trying to become one. I mean, I love my husband, but so that answers your question.
Okay. No, that's a great question. Well, I think you sort of answered that as well. My recommendation would be for you to get other people in there. And if it's a bishop or someone you trust in your church or a counselor, you know, it sounds like to me that he needs counseling, but now consequently you do as well, because there's just this lack of trust in the marriage that, you know, that's there from the past. And there's no way you're going to be able to move on in the marriage and even have other relationships if you don't get counseling and get help. And it sounds to me that it's going to have to be something that he's going to have to tackle, but you're going to have to help him.
Correct.
You know, and whatever he sees in you, I mean, you will be able to be, you know, this is a challenge, but you will be able to be the instrument that God can use to help him to open up again and
right.
trust.
Absolutely.
And so you want to be able to really make sure that you are trustworthy in that, and that you don't do something that would even jeopardize it or cause him to mistrust even more. And so
right.
that's a challenge, you know, for you, Don. But I'm glad that you are getting some help there. And that is, you know, the beginning of going in the right direction.
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a blessed day.
You're welcome. You too.
All right. Thank you so much for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye. We have Christina on the line from New Jersey. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Hi. Yes. I was just calling to make a comment. First of all, I wanted to thank you, Tiffany, and also Marcos for having this show. It's been phenomenal just listening to you, and I try to catch you as much as I can every Saturday morning. So thank you so much. God bless you guys.
Thank you.
Awesome. Thank you.
I wanted to make a comment on the topic that you were talking about, great marriages, three keys in a great marriage. And the first one point was the faithful friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually single. I'm not married. I believe, I totally agree with you with that. I believe that in any relationship, it's really great to have those faithful friends who can walk alongside of you, speak the truth in love, and also be able to hold you accountable. And being honest is definitely a key. And I thank God that I have great friends that I'm able to share my heart with. So I thank you for that topic. And Mark 2, I believe.
Yes.
It Mark chapter 2?
Yes, Mark chapter 2.
Yes, okay. I never even read it like that, but I appreciate your perspective on that, and it was great. Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you, and we thank you for listening, and please continue to listen as much as possible.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
You too.
We have Shayna on the line calling in from South Carolina. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. I just want to say y'all have blessed my marriage so much. It's like y'all becoming my good friends. And I just want to say that my question is, like, as far as the friendship thing, I had friends that I've been friends with for years, because I've been married for, like, going on 5 years. And we have two children. And my friends that I had, my friends had always been there for me through my school years and everything. And my husband be telling me something. He's like, you need to, our business is our business. He's like, you don't need to ask your friends for advice. And that's supposed to be something that's supposed to be shared between me and you. And I be feeling like sometimes he's right, but I do need people I can speak with. And after I went behind his back anyway and still talked to my friends, they all of a sudden turned on me at all these years. And like now I'm stuck between a rock and a hard place. I don't know whether I can trust a good friend again, or if I would have listened to my friends a long time ago, I would have left my husband. But now my husband is starting to grow.
Okay. Hmm. Okay. Well, I think there are several things going on here. Shayna, is it?
Yeah.
And, you know, there's multiple things going on here. One, it sounds like it's your individual relationship with your friends from the past. And then it's your relationship with your husband. And there's, for some reason, it sounds like he doesn't feel comfortable. Now, a question I do have for you is, does he feel that way about everyone? Like he doesn't want anyone to know what's going on in the marriage? Or is it just your friends specifically?
I mean, he don't mind if I talk to the pastor, but he's still like, basically everybody. He was like, we're husband and wife. We're supposed to talk about this among ourselves. I was like, it's hard because he's not saved. But Lord's will, he's going to be saved. And I go to church, so I need someone to talk to because we're not on. I mean, it's like when I want to talk to him, you know how it is when you're when one's saved, one not. I need someone to talk to.
Well, you know what? There's something I would tell you that has worked in my marriage is my wife has great friends that she talks to, and she bounces things off them. And I'll be honest with you, as a man and a lot of men, most of us, we struggle with pride. As early on in my marriage, I remember when my wife would share about something going on in our marriage, it would make me feel really, you know, aggravated. And I didn't like the fact that she was sharing, even though I know my wife loves me and I know that, you know, there's some friends there that I trust. But there was something about what I felt like the way she was going to share it, or I felt like, you know, she's just going to share her side. And there are times where she would even share on the phone and she would ask me permission, you know, not in an awkward or weird way. I got to get permission to share this, but say, you know what? I'm going to call my friend and I want to talk about this, but I want you to know, honey, that I'm going to share from my perspective, my side of it. And I would hear her share. And I tell you, Shayna, what it did is, first of all, I would hear how she was talking about her perspective and not putting me like in this, you know, bad light. And then I would see the outcome. Like she would come back different. Meaning that I saw how beneficial it was. Mm-hmm. And so I would be a fool not to want her to bounce things off other people. And so something that we even decided, kind of a pact that we made, is that when we share, it's not like, oh, you know, girlfriend, this guy's just being a jerk or whatever. It's more like, look, I'm having a hard time. I need to be patient. I'm having a rough day. You know, my husband said this and it really bothered me, but I don't think it was so much him. It's how I reacted. Let me get help about that. And when I would hear that, I mean, what husband is not going to want his wife to be better and to be humble and to be different? But the other side is true as well. If your husband, you know, overhears this or just gets the sense that when you talk to your friends is to put him in a bad light, then absolutely. Okay. His attitude is going to be, you know, and rightly so. He's going to be, I don't want you talking to anyone. And so really, I want to encourage you, Shayna, to build that trust and say, you know what, honey, this is what I'm going to share. And, you know, as time goes on and you begin to trust and you trust your spouse more and even your friends, it gets to the point where you don't care. I mean, really, my wife and I are now at a point where, I mean, she can share whatever with certain people. I mean, really, I trust. They know me. Even if she would to say, you know, put me in a bad light, they know, wait a minute, that's not Marcos. You know, now they'll go back to her and say, no, you're perhaps, you know, being emotional or overreacting. But in the beginning, it was really important for it to kind of go slowly and to build that trust. And I want to encourage you to start doing that. Really share with him first what you're going to share with others. You know, start with something small. And as time goes on and as you're able to really benefit from this and he benefits from it, I mean, I believe that he'll just be, he'll be a fool not to want you to be a better wife as a result of sharing these things with your friend. You know, does that make sense, Gina?
Yes, dude. But the thing is, though, too, sometimes I'd be like, maybe I do need to listen to him because, like, he see through people. And he'd be like, and I thought these people were my friends. I asked them for advice. I told them my struggles. And they'd be like, oh, you need to leave your husband, or he's this and he's that. You know, but then now to this day, it hurts me because we've been friends for so many years. They're not my friends anymore. It's like I basically went over my husband's head, and the things he used to tell me not to do, I did. And now it's like, where my friends at now?
Okay, that, well, it sounds to me that those were the wrong friends in the first place. And so first, my encouragement would be to find, and that was the first key, find faithful friends. And what I mean by faithful is, first of all, faithful to God, faithful for you, and that they want to see you do well. You know, if you have a friend that doesn't want what's best for you or your marriage or even your relationship with God, then they're not really the type of friends you need. You know, but Shayna, we need a break here for some commercials. So we thank you so much for your call. God bless you.
Thank y'all so much.
All right. We thank you. And we look forward to having you call in with the answer to the question, do you have faithful friends in your marriage? 215-263-1039, 1-877-995-7644. We'll be right back after this.
You can hear us anywhere in the world at any time. Just go to praisephilly.com.
Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me, how you love me? It's amazing.
Beyond the Vows. If you're in Charlotte, call 1-877-995-7644. If you're in Philly, call 215-263-1039 and get in on the conversation. We're Praise.
And a very good morning. Welcome back to our discussion. We definitely welcome your phone calls. Look forward to speaking to you this morning. We are talking about the three keys to a great marriage and look forward to hearing from you at 215-263-1039 or 1-877-995-7644.
Well, we are talking about the three keys to a great marriage. First one is having faithful friends. The next one is having persistent prayer. And then finally is just having an honest heart, just honest and open conversation. And so we hope and pray that this morning you will be able to be enriched, empowered, and encouraged by everything we have to share with you. I want to share this passage here. Proverbs 18:24 says, "A man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." And our first question for us is, who has God put in your life to help you in your marriage? Mm. You know, we read a scripture. Our theme scripture for this morning was Mark chapter 2. And we read about how these friends, these four friends, helped this paralytic get to Jesus and really having the attitude that no matter what obstacle came their way, that they were willing to take that risk, willing to go and sacrifice, willing to not take no for an answer so that their friend could be healed. I mean, amazing story. You know, who would not want four friends like that, Tiffany?
Yeah, exactly. And the thing is, sometimes you just having good friends can be hard. You might really only have one good friend
Absolutely.
In your life. And if you're very, very fortunate and very blessed, you might have a few more than one.
Yes, I agree.
You know, but having that, especially in the marriage, I can only imagine as being just completely wonderful, especially if both parties have good friends. And then if they can be friends too, that would be even better.
Well, you know what's a challenge, Tiffany? Some people are very good. They have like this kind of, what would I say? I don't want to say it's like a sixth sense or anything, but they have this way to be able to say, you know what, this person is good for me or this person's not. You know, they have that ability. And usually women tend to be a little better at it, but it's always easier to be the outsider that sees that. For example, you know, if there's somebody that my wife has done this many times, you know, and there are times where she's like, you know what? There's something about that guy. I just can't put my finger on it, honey. But I know you're getting to know him. He's your friend. But there's something that's awkward. There's something I just don't, you know, feel at ease about. And then sure enough, as time goes on, something happens. You know, it gets exposed. This guy was, you know, he was hiding something or you couldn't trust him. And it's like, my goodness, how did you know? She's like, I don't know. You know, I think sometimes the Spirit of God gives us, you know, an ability to be able to say, you know what? The Bible also talks about testing the spirits. And so I believe that there's some things that, you know, it's just wise and prudent to say, you know, I'm not just going to trust someone right away.
Right.
Let me see if this person is trustworthy. And that scripture that I share in Proverbs 18:24, you can have many companions, like you said, but a true, true friend, I mean, that's someone that really is looking out for your best interest.
Yeah.
You know, my own father, my father's 71 years old, and in his life, I can say that I think he's only had like one or two real friends. Mm. And he's a very generous person. He's very giving. So a lot of people, you know, really flock to my dad.
Yeah.
And however, I noticed that they're only there, you know, they're fair weather friends. You know, they're only there when things are good.
Right.
And yet there are very few people who are there no matter what.
Right.
And I've seen that just growing up. And then in life, I can say I think I'm fortunate and blessed that I have more than one. But again, it's not that many.
Yeah.
There are
yeah.
very few people in this world that you can say, you know what, I totally trust you. You know me and you want what's best for me, you know, no matter what.
Right. And the funny thing is, I know we have a couple people on the line. We're going to get right to you. So if you're listening to us and you're in the queue, we're going to come right to you and answer the phone and let you ask your questions. And if you have not been picked up yet, you will be picked up shortly. So just have some patience with us. But sometimes, you know, we can be so caught up into whatever is going on in our lives, we might not even realize that someone is not a good friend, because people can say, I'll be there for you. I'll be there for you. They can say it all day long. But then when that incident happens, when something goes wrong in your life, when you're not feeling well, if someone is ill and you get a response that doesn't sound very friendly, that can add to the situation and throw you for a loop. And you're thinking, wow, did I do something wrong? You know, or is this person really not a friend?
Well, I'm glad you say that, Tiffany, because at the same time, we want to have realistic expectations of who people are. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jesus himself, right? He surrounded himself with 12 men. One was a traitor. The other 11, I mean, loved him, but they weren't there for him the whole time. And right. So God himself knows, Jesus himself knew that, you know, no one else is God. No one can replace God. I mean, only God will always be there, never let you down. And so if you're looking for that and say, oh, would this person let me down? I mean, of course, people will. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we're looking for. We're not saying, you know, replace God with friendship. Mm-hmm. We're saying, you know, God should be your absolute, you know, best friend. But then you do need people who are supportive and who love you. And Jesus knew that. And that's what those other men represented. I mean, men who eventually died for the cause, died for him. But they had weaknesses. And so even if we base it back on Mark chapter 2 in that passage, we see that just that definition or just seeing that example of friendship. I mean, these friends went the extra mile.
Right.
I mean, that's what they did. Their friend needed to be healed. They said, you know what? We got to take him to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so any friend that takes you to Jesus or closer to God is a good friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so ask yourself that question in your relationship. Has this relationship, this friendship drawn me closer to God or further from God?
Mm.
And if the answer is it takes you further from God, no matter what the reasoning, that's not a good relationship.
All right. Good stuff. Thank you so much for that. And we welcome your phone calls again at 215-263-1039, 1-877-995-7644. Shelley is on the line from Pennsylvania. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning, Tiffany. Good morning, Marco.
Good morning.
I just want to comment. I have a comment and I have a question. I am going through a divorce presently, but the friendship piece really, really, really blessed me. My husband and I have a married couple that are still very good friends of ours, and I really appreciate the topic because they held us accountable.
Mm.
Her husband held my husband accountable. She held me accountable. The whole piece where you can be honest, I went to her. We went to them very transparent and exposed. Look, this is the situation. This is what we're going through. They took us to the Word. They prayed for us. They covered us. And I honestly think that, you know, even now with us going through the divorce, it's affecting them more than it really is affecting us. Like, they're taking it very, very, very hard. And the husband is still trying to hold my husband accountable. Are you sure this is what you want to do? And I think the hard piece for me, I'm going through this. I married my best friend. My husband and I were best friends for 8 years before we married, before we dated anything. We were best friends for 8 years. So I wanted to comment and just to share that we did have those type of friends in our lives that, you know, prayed with us and covered us. But I think the hard part for me is I'm still accepting the divorce, but I feel like instead of just losing my husband, I lost my best friend. And how do I remain his friend? Because there's a lot of scar tissue there, and I love him as my best friend, but it's hard for me to encourage that part of the relationship because my heart is still in it. How do you do that?
Well, Shelley, it's a great question. However, it's very difficult for us to truly answer that without knowing, you know, the big picture. And I know we don't have time on the air to get into, like, why you're getting divorced and everything. But there are some things that happen in a marriage, in a relationship that, I mean, obviously God can fix anything, but there are some things that would have, you know, lifelong consequences.
Yeah.
You know, unfaithfulness is one of those things.
Yeah,
now,
okay.
It doesn't mean that there's no healing or there's no hope, but there are consequences to it. And so with those consequences, I mean, you can't have that same level of trust if something was done to you that was really hurt. Now, of course, there are exceptions and there are miracles and God does work. And yet there are some times. So without being able to know exactly what's happened here, I mean, I could tell you this much, that if there was some major things happening or major hurt there that, you know, you just can't, like, just bounce right back and have this best friend anymore.
Yes, it was major, but I think you did, excuse me, I'm trying to get through this without getting choked up, but you said, one of the things you said that I would say in my own defense as a wife, that there should be no outside friends that your wife doesn't know about. You shouldn't have any friends that can't meet your wife, or I shouldn't have any friends.
Okay.
95. any friends that my husband shouldn't meet. And that was the issue. My husband had a lot of outside female friends that he worked with that, you know, didn't include me when he would do trips and, you know, certain things that I wasn't involved in. And I had an issue with that, but he didn't think it was a problem. Mm-hmm. And at some point, it affected the marriage to the point where they were sending invitations to the house addressed to him for all kinds of stuff. And I just thought it was disrespectful, inconsiderate. And at some point, you know, the enemy, you know, it became a stronghold, for lack of a better term.
Absolutely.
You know, it became a stronghold. But I think, like I said, the fact for me, even with other things that you were saying that played a part in him and I separating and ultimately divorcing, is I lost my best friend. That
Absolutely.
Was my best friend, and that hurts me more than anything. The marriage was great when it lasted, but I don't have my best friend, and I think I want to hold on to that, but because of the scar tissue, it's like, you know, you want to love him and be his best friend, but at the same time, the betrayal, that's a very big issue for me. And I know that I have to forgive him and that I should, but I'm having a very hard time with that.
Absolutely. And Shelley, with what you've told me, I mean, I can tell you this much, is that that should not prevent you from being like Jesus, where Jesus still loved Judas, and it says that he still called him friend even when he was about to betray him with a kiss. He
wow.
said, and also Jesus looked at the rich young ruler in Luke 18, and he
mm-hmm.
looked
mm-hmm.
at him and loved him. So you can still love your husband even though he's not loving you, but at the same time, you can't have this great, you know, two-way street friendship
mm-hmm.
if he is turning away from it. So all you can do is make sure that you are like Jesus and you still love him and pray for him and wish him the best, and hopefully in the future, he will come to his senses in some way.
Mm-hmm. All right. We thank you so much for calling in. I hope we were helpful today, or
it
I hope Marcos
helpful.
Was helpful today. All right. Awesome. Have
very
a great
helpful.
Day.
Y'all have a blessed day. Thank you,
you too.
So much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. We have Taisha calling in from Philadelphia. Good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good, and you?
Good. What's your comment?
I have a question and a comment.
Okay.
I wanted to go back to what you said earlier, Tiffany, in reference to sometimes that it could get a little shaky having female friends and male friends.
Yes.
It really can. I really appreciate this topic that that you and Marcos are having today. Me and my husband, we've been married, it's going on 10 years, and at some point in our marriage, we both had he had female friends. I had male friends. And I'm always, you know, very careful of, you know, who I allow in my inner circle or what I would share with a person, where he was more open with more of his female friends. And I know even with just having friends that are female, sometimes we can be biased and hearing different things that's going on with someone that's our friend. And I guess like the young lady, Shannon, that just left the air, I guess sometimes when maybe that husband's female friend is not really friends with the wife, sometimes people take other motives to the friendship, or vice versa. You can have all male friends, and that male friend may have another motive because they're not friends with the husband.
Mm-hmm.
And in that can bring a level of distrust. Because you begin to, you know, different things begin to happen. It doesn't have to always lead into a level of infidelity, but it's of how one perceives things
Absolutely.
That's going on.
Mm.
And it really came to a point where, though, one of my husband's friends, you know, she really, really, like, wanted to be with my husband. And me and her crossed paths, and it really turns into something very, very ugly. Not anything physical, but just in terms of how she felt about him. It was so funny to the point she called me a homewrecker because she wanted my husband, and I was just like, wow. And after something like that, I do believe that each person needs to have somebody to vent to. We both came to the marriage. He had a lot of female friends. I had a whole lot of male friends. We do have some friends that are married, but it's kind of like one of those situations where everybody kind of look at us and think, like, we got it all together.
So it was kind of like, how do we, because it's like now neither one of us really have any outside friends mm-hmm. in terms of someone, you know, him having his male, me having my male friends and him having his female friends.
Sure.
And it's still kind of like we're friends, but like you said, sometimes when you're discussing things, because of our culture of how we were brung up, we're totally different.
Okay.
So we really don't view with things. So a lot of times we take it back to the Word of God, and we can agree there. But when it comes to our own personal opinions, it's like, I just disagree with that altogether.
Okay. Okay, well, you know, Taisha, you bring a great point forward. And I know there are many of our listeners right now in very similar situations where they're like, my goodness, you know, we have separate friends. You know, it really goes back to what we talked about early on in the show where we said, you know, the Bible says the two become one, meaning that separateness really has to go away. And that is very difficult to do. However, though, because you're seeing how destructive it's been, this is a perfect opportunity for you to start over and say, you know what, we need to find some friends that are good for us. And a great place to go is, you know, at church, you know, looking for friends at church that have the same desire to please God. I don't know if do you both attend church?
Yes, we do.
And, you know, when you go there, you know, hopefully you're looking and you're at a church where people are really striving to put the Bible into practice. And when you go there, you know, just even to be able to share your life experiences. I mean, I love it. My wife and I yesterday had breakfast with a couple that we had never met. And as they shared their story and their, you know, they've been married just about the same time we have been. And they waited a long time. You know, God blessed them recently with a set of twins. And it was a great time. We only spent a couple of hours with them. And at the end of the conversation, we're like, my goodness, we wish we had more time together. And the reason for that is because we have so much in common because of the Word of God. And I want to encourage you that, you know, start there. Try to find some new relationships because you've seen how destructive the old relationships have been.
Right.
And, you know, still love your friends. Don't, you know, I'm not saying in every case, you know, cut them off totally. But really start building friendships with people who have an interest in God. You know, faithful friends. That's our first key there. And making sure that they're, first of all, faithful to God. And then you are able to even see perhaps there are other couples who've been through the very same thing you are going through, yet they've already been on the other side. They already see the light at the end of the tunnel, and that would be such an encouragement for you and your husband.
Excuse me, Marcos. That's so true, but I just want to say one more thing. And what you just said, most of my friends, I did not have a problem with my husband being around, but it just goes back to what you said earlier, like some men or more pride, you know, pride gets a hold of men.
Sure.
And a few of his female friends that I met, I'm sorry, that's the baby, I'm sorry. A few of his friends that I met, like you said, with your wife, it was, you could just tell somebody motives are, you know, not pure towards you. And they were people that professed Christ and, you know, all the great things. But in an indirect way, they found every possible way to put me down as his wife. And then in terms of just meeting friends at church, we would probably have to go on the outside of our church because, like, a lot of the marriages are unequally yoked at our church. Okay. We're probably, like, the only couple that's actually saved and both attend church and that's trying to apply the Word of God in our life.
Okay. Okay, well, it sounds like you're off to a good start. You know what you need, and you do need a relationship where both the husband and wife are equally yoked that they have. And my encouragement is to really start praying for God to put some people in your path who can help you in that right direction. And I believe God will do that for you.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for listening and for calling in.
All right. God bless.
All right. Same to you. Listen, we have more wonderful discussion on the three keys for a great marriage up next on Marriage Beyond the Vows. Stay close.